Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and we ask that you would visit our sponsors and supporters again and let them know that you heard them on the air. We're going to have a special show today. I think we're going to be doing something about hurricane season coming up. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Sheriff Chip Hughes.
Chief Patrick Gallagher.
Chief Damian Locklear.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody. You can see that we're trying to see what we can do about coordinating with everybody that knows that they're going through their own exercises right now, trying to prepare for the upcoming season. We have heard that it's going to be a very, very mild season, but when was the last time you believed the weatherman?
Yeah, they told us last year was going to be intense and we were going to have like 15 named storms, and I don't seem to remember that.
Thank goodness.
I have a question I want to start out with. Who determines whether there is an evacuation order, and you know, who makes that decision, and what are the factors that go into making that decision?
Yes, Chief.
So I would say that really comes down to a command staff. So when you have an event that's going to be significant, you're going to open up your EOC, and then we've already been monitoring the storm, obviously, as many days out as possible. We're using as much as we can, like HERVAC and different efforts. So once you get to a certain point, depending on its trajectory, if you will, and what it's looking at is whether it's a Category 3, 4, or 5, then from a command staff, we're going to say, all right, is this a good time, and in what way do we want to evacuate? And then there's some steps in place for that.
So. Now we're hitting two different things right now, because we have two representatives here from the city and one from the county. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, in the past we did have Stanley Kite with us. The background story is that when we did a radio show here with Stanley Kite, he came and Mary asked the question, what's the first thing we would do? Looking in our backyard, we've got 23 of those longleaf pine trees. He said, God, get the heck out of here.
And that was his answer.
So we do understand.
Yeah, but that's a coordinated thing. I mean, we're in close contact as far as our partnership with the county, as far as with emergency services. So we're all working together. But ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what does that look like as far as the impact for your area, and then from there, making a determination of whether or not evacuation is needed.
Because we are subject to wind and water damage.
Correct.
I mean, Union Point, you sneeze and Union Point floods. And there are I'm sure there are other areas of the city that have similar problems.
And you get out to the western part of the county, and it's a whole different weather pattern.
Because we saw during Hurricane Florence, we didn't see any flooding through. Well, we saw a little bit of flooding in one area of Carolina Colors where Bryce's Creek didn't have any place to go. But mostly we saw wind damage.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of it for us is, you know, one, making sure all of our equipment is operational, gassed up, generators working, you know, chainsaws, all the stuff that we will need to clear roadways and help in any way we can. Making sure our high-rise vehicles are operational so we can get into low-lying areas of the county. But, you know, like the chief said, we work very closely with our municipalities also, to make sure they have the resources in place, and we augment them if needed. And, you know, it's once the governor, you know, declares a state of emergency, then our chairman of the county board typically will do the same thing. And that enables us to get, you know, reimbursement from FEMA funds, however long that might take, and to bring in additional state and federal resources if needed. So that's why it's so important to, you know, whether we think it's going to be terrible or not, to at least get that order in place. So if it does come, then we're able to, you know, get reimbursed and help out with any type of equipment that we don't have. But I can tell you, you know, having worked quite a few now, our working relationship with all the municipalities, really, New Bern, when we bring all of our resources together, there's not a whole lot we can't handle.
You know, the other thing that, having been on the fire department up in Massachusetts, and again, I was only a call man, but when we did have incidents of weather incidents or whatever, guess what? You've got trucks on the road in every quadrant of the town or city or whatever else to make sure that you weren't cut off, your area wasn't cut off by trees falling on the road. So it's not like go and hunker down and wait till somebody calls. No, you're out there being active.
You know, I would say to add to that, and I'm sure they're looking from a planning standpoint too, and that's one of the things that we have to be very understanding of, is having the staff in place, already having them, you know, they've had a chance to go and take care of their families and take care of some of the things that they need to in their home. And then when they come in, you know, for something significant, it's going to be an all-hands recall. And that way we're, you know, something unique is dealing with the split between the city as far as the river for us from the fire side. We're making sure that we're staffing this side of the river just like we are the other side, so.
Your initial question was specific to evacuations, and our public is listening to what its government officials are saying. And to the sheriff's point that we work well with all of our municipalities, but we all have to be saying the same thing. Because when we make a call and it is not the same call as another municipality, then there's conflict. And so we lose a little bit of that trust with our community. So all of the emergency management staff, all the leaders within public safety, all understand how critical that component and that relationship and that centralized message is shared across the board.
I think we've only been down here a little over 13 years, and understanding, especially like radio frequencies and stuff like that, the ability to cross communicate is just really amazing to see what we can do. So,
one of the things that we learned during Hurricane Helene when it hit the western part of the state was the usefulness of ham radio operators. Do any of your departments have any communication with local ham radio people?
Absolutely.
I happen to be a ham, so.
Yeah, we certainly do. And, you know, we've met with them on a number of occasions. And, you know, they have a lot of resources because these men and women are really good at what they do.
Yes.
And they have a lot of resources that personally I did not know years ago that were available to us in regards to communications. Especially in some of the areas of the county where we might not have good communications, they can set up shop and help us as well.
Would you talk about what happened with the repeater?
Well, I, in the western part of the state, most of the cell towers were either knocked down, out of power, or just not available. I mean, you take the dish on a repeater tower, and you slightly move the dish 1 or 2 degrees, and you get only about 10% of the performance out of that dish. So you're not going to get a lot of phone calls or a lot of traffic through those dishes. But the repeater up on Mount Mitchell, which was the 2-meter repeater, and that was brought out onto the internet, the repeater up there was being used to coordinate people coming into an area that's saying with a ham radio, so I don't have any cell service here, I don't have anything, whatever else, but I'm trying to get a hold of somebody in another area. Well, they would track all of those messages and coordinate everybody. I'm in this area, I'm out of funds, I need gasoline, or I need, you know,
an ATM.
Cash, an ATM, right. Or whatever else. And those were all coordinated calls through the area. Again, through 2-meter radio, no local landline radio phones were working, and no cell towers were working. And it was an interesting few days to see the guys that were trying to coordinate that stuff.
Well, even kept that going.
Even under the best case scenario, it's always about bandwidth. You have to think about it in that context. So if one cell tower goes down and there is a loss of connectivity with cell phones, because very few people now have hardline phones in their home, then it becomes, to what degree is the bandwidth capable of dealing with the multitude of people trying to get online and trying to make phone calls? Now, what a lot of people don't realize, that when you have multiple failures within our grid system and for cellular phones, and you might see an AT&T or Verizon mobile station, That's great, but that really isn't necessarily helping the average person, because through federal legislation, FirstNet, that's an AT&T product, Verizon has the same product, where they will prioritize public safety first. So they override the average citizen. Now, that may sound and feel unfair, but to the chief's earlier all hands on deck perspective, if we lose connectivity with our handheld radio system, then we have to use whatever type of technology that's out there. And so this is part of the issues that will come up.
One of the things that our kids experienced, they were down in New Orleans for Katrina, was that as the cell tower system failed in Katrina, the building, nobody could call a Katrina number, a Louisiana number, because there was no ability to coordinate where that call should go. They could easily call out to anywhere that they wanted, but nobody could call in to them. So that's a vulnerability that you don't really think about, but it's there.
I do have one other comment that I really wanted to highlight when I talk about bandwidth. In our comm system, our 911 center, if there's not enough bandwidth to support a typical cell phone call, you can always text 911, and that's a much lower threshold, and we are more likely to get your text 911 than we would be able to.
Texting will get through, yes. Generally, will get through.
That's important. Okay. What happened was the Marines evacuated New Orleans the day before Katrina, so they got out of there okay. But again, we could not call them. They had to call us. But that's interesting. I didn't know you could text 911. That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. There are a few other lines. I know, like, there's the tip line and whatever else that people ought to be made aware of. And where would we go to get the tip line and everything like that?
That anybody that wants that information, just email me. If you go to New Bern Police Department, my email address is on the front page. Email me and I'll get you that information.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you were going to ask another.
I just wanted to ask the chief a question about the non-emergency line. if you're in a situation and you're driving through New Bern and you see a dog on the side of the road that's maybe walking along without an owner in sight, what number would you call?
So the typical area code 252, obviously, and the non-emergency number is 633-2020. Your scenario, that would be the number. It would also be the number for any other police, fire, or EMS-related call for service, mm-hmm. meaning you were in need of a police officer,
but not
EMT,
emergency.
Or fire service to come to your home or to a location.
But not an emergency.
No, an emergency is always a 911 call.
911. Yeah. I just wanted to clear that up so people knew they had that option.
And before we came back on the air again, most people do not remember phone numbers. I'm going to suggest pre-program that into your cell phone so that you don't have to remember the number again.
So I want to ask about some of the things that happen after the hurricane goes through or during a hurricane situation. I know that particularly during Flo, you were put in a position, many of you were put in a position where you were out rescuing people. And I'm told that there have been some additions to the police cars that have made that a little bit more efficient, such as flotation ropes and things like that.
Well, I think for a response protocol, the first thing everybody should understand is the hazard conditions that are taking place during the storm itself applies to our staff, and we're not going to put them in the harm's way. We're just not unless it's a life or death situation, we're not going to do that. And so we have certain thresholds, sustained winds that we will then tell our staff that they are to remain in place, be safe until we can have them respond out. So, but what you're talking about is new equipment that we have implemented in our patrol cars only during emergency situations. We will ensure that every vehicle has 100 feet of very high tension rope and also some form of a flotation device. And this was a shortfall that we identified during a roundtable discussion, that there were times when rope becomes a very critical asset in addressing any type of situation that would require you to pull something, it require you to send a person out so that you could pull them back in. And sometimes the best thing to do is to toss a flotation device out to somebody so that before you can get to them, they don't sink and drown. So these are the types of things that we front loaded in all of our patrol cars so that we have that in the event we need it.
Evacuation, if we talked about evacuation, what are the things that you should take with us? What should be in your go kit? First off, I know that from our own experience, if the hurricane is coming here, make sure you've secured all of your yard equipment and everything like that so it doesn't become a flying projectile into your next door neighbor's house or into someone else's. You need.
So for that, I brought a list, and you know this is something you can find if you go to newbernnc.gov, and if you just type in the search like hurricane preparedness, you can find several things that's going to assist you. But we actually have one. It's a flood resilience checklist for both, you know, private and for business owners, and it goes through a list of things, and that kind of just helps you so you can go through and just check that off. But it's a long list. I mean, I could go through it, but I think it would be easier for the individuals if they would, you know, just take the time and go to newbernnc.gov and just look for flood resilient checklist, and it'll have everything on there. So just as an example, some things like prescription medications, making sure you have your banking information, your birth, all your major documents. You want to definitely have, you know, enough water for each person for 3 to 7 days, and non-perishable foods, those kind of things. But like I said, instead of just going through the whole list, that would be the best place to find.
I appreciate that. Yes, and just adding to that list, if you have pets, you need to make provisions mm-hmm. for those pets.
And there's a little checkoff box for the pets as well.
And not only if you're going somewhere with the pet, You need to make provisions that they will accept pets there.
That's true.
Because there are certain, you know, if we have emergency centers here, I'm not sure every emergency
center. We usually have, we utilize the schools in many cases throughout the county, and usually we designate one or two as pet friendly. But when you do that, you have to bring, rabies vaccination, that sort of thing, before the dog can be, or cat can be, brought in to the shelter. So a lot of people show up with their animals, and, unfortunately, they have to be turned away because, they don't have that type of documentation with them.
Yeah. So these are things that you need to prepare in advance. Don't wait until the day of the storm to decide to do this.
Mm. Yeah. And when, we talk about, the evacuation, most of the times those are given with plenty of notice. So, people do have time to gather these things that the chief was talking about. And, usually we have routes for evacuation and certain traffic patterns that we're going to monitor. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't. And, we saw a lot of that with, especially like in downtown New Bern, in some of the areas that were really low-lying, where we actually had to go in and, rescue them and bring them out. And, unfortunately, with some of the really bad storms, some of those turned into recoveries as well. Really heed the warnings. And I know it's easy, they've warned us before and nothing happened. Well, better to be safe than sorry. And, once again, it's we have to wait until it's safe for us to be able to get in there, and that might be riding out the worst part of the storm before we can come get you.
But everybody needs to be proactive in what they need to do.
Correct. Yeah. And I would add to what Sheriff was saying there, which is also, if you go to the webpage, you'll find something called Know Your Zone. So if there's a, evacuation order that's given, you can go in there, put in your address, and it's going to be able to show you what zone you're attached to for in the event that there's evacuation that's called.
And again, these are things to do in advance. The one other one that I came up with is for here in North Carolina, firearms owners. What do you leave behind? You've got to leave. If you're leaving firearms behind, they've got to be secured.
Yeah, they should be.
They should be, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're taking them, they've got to be secured.
Yeah. Also, you need to make sure that you have documents so that when you come back, you have proof of residence and you can get back into your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone is wonderful. And sometimes things happen. We saw that during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans because our kids were stationed there. Some of the things that went on there after the hurricane and during the hurricane were just totally unacceptable. And you need to have proof of who you are that you can get back to your house.
Now the horrible story, Chief Gallagher was in New Orleans and in Katrina, is the police department needed to break into Sewell Cadillac to get their the Escalades or whatever else as emergency vehicles.
They were driving them around.
So later on, Sewell Cadillac advertised, Sewell Cadillac driven by New Orleans finest. But it was a necessary thing.
Yeah. You accidentally brought up a very important point that the sheriff and I can both attest to, that when we decide what our a fleet is going to consist of, we have to be cognizant of what our typical mission is. And generally speaking, we have sedans and SUVs. Would it be great to have, F-150s, Dodge Rams with crew cabs set up higher? Of course. But on a day-to-day operational basis, that's really not the platform in which law enforcement utilizes these vehicles. So during a hurricane, a flood situation, even an SUV is only going to give you about 14 inches of clearance before you start getting into troubled areas because, where is the air intake on that vehicle? And if it's lower than the water you're going through, you're going to stall out. And so there are going to be times when we would love to get to you, we just don't have the equipment to get to you. And our elevated vehicles, we have just so few of them.
Well, I'd like to add to that as well. And when you think about whether it's a tropical storm response, hurricane, you know, winter storms like we just had recently, adding to that is that hopefully our citizens are understanding that on a good day we can be delayed for a response. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what's going on with 70 right now, you know, with the traffic and everything else, sometimes your response for that emergency need is already delayed. So now add those other factors to it, and that's why when if it comes down to it and it said, hey, we need to evacuate, that's what you really want to consider doing, because in that event of emergency, you may or may not get that response in that timely manner like you would like. We're going to do our best, but you know.
And don't wait till the last minute to fill up your gas tank or charge your EV.
Right.
I'll tell you something else, that Chief, you can probably speak on this a little better than I can, Chief Locklear, is, you know, generators. Mm-hmm. And how folks utilize those, you know, during these type of weathers. Got to be very careful.
Very careful, yeah. You don't want to have, you know, setting up those in the proper amount of distance from your home. You want to make sure that you've already made sure that was serviced properly. You don't want it feeding back into the home. So there's safety tips when you go on, and you can find those. So you, like he was just stating, that can be very dangerous. It can lead to fire. It can lead to, you know.
Yeah, don't aim the exhaust into your garage.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things I'll say, and I'll say it now because we have a few seconds before we go to break, is that in the event that family members, because we have a lot of elderly folks that live here and their adult children live elsewhere, and they can't get a hold of mom and they can't get a hold of grandma. And so generally speaking, they're going to contact law enforcement or some government official to say, I can't reach, I just need to know that they're safe. Well, what we will take that information and we will prioritize that best possible to get there as soon as possible. Now, that might mean 8 hours, could mean 16 hours, could mean the very next day, but we have a list. We will go check on everybody that we need to check on. But again, remember, that list is going to be quite long, and some of those areas are very low lying.
And if you have a neighbor of that person, give them a call also and see if you can do the early intervention. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Kim, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, sorry I'm late. I have a forgetful memory. I had a question about getting information out after. We know the storm's coming in plenty of time, so we can make preparations in advance. But it's after the fact, after the destruction, after the electric's out. How do we get information? How is the best way to find out what's going on and when roads will be opened and that kind of thing?
One of the things we were talking about during the break was, again, if you go to newbernnc.gov, Newbern Alerts is something that, you know, you can sign up for. And this is throughout the year. And you can pick actually the categories that you want to get notifications for. And I think even if you sign up for all of them, it's not the PI.
It's not overwhelming.
It's not overwhelming. You know, you get, if the fire department, if we have a gas leak and there's a certain area that we want to make sure people can maybe avoid if all possible during that time, that alert will go out. So that's also something that will be utilized as the storm's coming and then afterwards to try to get out that information to
everyone. We see like
how does it go out if there's no internet?
You can get it, like I said, via
text message.
And in a hurricane, the cell towers.
Well, cell towers, again, to your point earlier, Chief Gallagher, was that the cell towers can support a lot more text messages than they can voice messages.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, and so I know that like the New Bern, you'll get a notification there's an electrical outage affecting 800 customers or something like that, and bingo, yes, it's back online. It's been helpful, yeah.
And I don't know what the number is right off, Chief. Maybe you remember, but utilities, they'll have a number that you can call to get updates as well.
Surf the New Bern sites, surf the county sites also, because there's a lot of good information there.
The National Weather Service also is good on providing information to affected areas. So I always recommend, and we talked about this the last time we had this topic, was to ensure that you had that radio, not only to tell you in advance, you know, your particular area is under a certain watch or warning situation, but after the fact, there's also some information to be had there. And the other part that I would bring up is everybody should have an AM/FM radio, and the other component to that is, you know, most people go, okay, yeah, it's in the closet and it's been there for 3 years and, you know, the batteries are dead. So to make sure that you have plenty of ability to power up those devices.
Yeah. And I'm sure on the county side, just like with the city, you know, you check your Facebook pages as well, the city's Facebook page. And
Code Red.
Yep.
Also, Ready NC is good.
Absolutely.
Good site to go to. Travel conditions, road conditions, that sort of thing. And they keep it pretty up to date.
Well, it seemed like with Florence, and like I keep referring to, it was a long time ago, we didn't get our internet back, and we had satellite TV at the time, and we didn't get it back for several days. So our only source of information was really the car radio. We didn't have the AM/FM battery radio. So that is something that we need to do. But it was kind of disconcerting to feel like you were on an island. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We found a way, and I'm not the technical person at all, but I know Bob and our son-in-law, Darren, found a way to get regular TV channels on the television, not cable. And we were able to watch the news on Channel 9, Channel 12, whatever. But I know you did feel like you were totally disconnected from civilization. And we had the whole house generator, so we had power. And we had teenagers in the house and didn't have the internet, which I don't recommend. But,
at least about a generator, though. If the generator is natural gas, does the natural gas stay pressurized in the line for some period of time, or does that also stop?
No, I've had a generator for 5 years, and we've lost power many, many times, and that has not been an option. Now, if we're talking about multiple days and weeks, I can't answer that for you.
Yeah, same. We've had same thing. Okay. Gone out for the real bad one was in 6 to 17, whatever. And we had natural gas to our generator and never missed.
Okay.
No, ours ran.
Ours ran for about 2 weeks after flow.
I want to add one other thing for folks that do have a generator. When you put that generator in, whether it's a Kohler or a Generac, check how often you need to check the oil level in that thing, because once that's run 24 hours, they are telling you you ought to check the oil level in that generator. We were 3 days before a friend of mine said, well, how's your oil level? Woo! I had this blank stare on my face, and we checked it. Now, the oil level was fine, and if you are down on oil, make sure you've got oil to help to put into that generator. So the two things: one, you've got to check the generator for oil, you know, shut it down and check the oil level, and then secondly, if it is down, add oil.
I would like to go back to what she was asking too, and you made a point about, you know, the radio. It's a good, and in that checklist it talks about that, having that radio and that capability to get that information. If your cable goes down, if you have, you know, satellite, one of the things I would recommend, and you can find this at local Walmart, you can go on Amazon, but they actually make pretty decent antennas now that you can keep interior of your home or just outside, like next to a window, and it's picking up some of these digital and analog type channels, so you'll be able to catch, you know, those local news. And most people don't have those anymore because of the technology we have, but it's just something to keep on hand in that event that you didn't have that other capability.
So I just went on Amazon and I was looking through some of these, and you can get an AM/FM radio for as cheap as less than $10.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to invest $30 to $40, there are some amazing technology out there that, you know, would address everything that you're talking about, up and to include solar powered radios. I mean, it's not that expensive.
After the last hurricane, I invested in solar-powered recharger, mm-hmm. so that we could charge the cell phone.
Right.
And you could recharge your Kindle or, mm-hmm. you know, any like a little battery pack kind of thing, but it's solar-charged. Mm-hmm. And you could do it for light as well.
It's
flashlights, rechargeable.
It's amazing, not only we have the technology to deal with what happens when the power goes out, but when you think about the warnings that didn't happen for hurricanes 50 years ago that we have now. I mean, we know what's coming. We have a pretty good idea where it's going to hit and how powerful it's going to be. And that's in terms of being able to prepare for it, which you guys do. That's a very nice luxury that we haven't always had.
One of the programs that we use regularly, and I've already logged in just to make sure that, you know, before we get into hurricane season, is called HurriVac. And this particular system, they provide training to public safety. You have to be part of that. But I've been using this for several years now, and they're getting better and better about what their predictions are, and, you know, they can still mess up. I mean, you think about Matthew and how, you know, we were kind of off on that particular storm, but it's just something that I think this each year we're seeing, you know, that progression as far as accuracy, and with the understanding that we're going to make mistakes sometimes.
I would also recommend, and I know this is not in any particular order, but again, when I'm looking at Amazon and I look through some of the things that that I've done as, you know, trying to prepare my family, is a first aid kit is critical. And don't get the bargain brand where you only have, you know, a few Band-Aids in there, because you have to realize that all of the public safety networks and the emergency medical responses are going to be
stressed,
and you're going to have to take care of yourself. But here's another thing that everybody needs to understand, and you probably want to go out to Walmart next time and you buy it, not one, but buy two, is bug spray. How critically important that you have that with you, because after a hurricane, especially several days after, the mosquitoes and the bugs are going to be plentiful. And if you're going to be spending time outside, that's going to be your best friend.
That's good. That's good
information. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
that's
I have
very
my
good
preparedness
point.
Thing. I've called it a hurricane closet. I've got dehydrated food. I've got bottled water. I've got little propane candle thing. not propane. You know those like camping lantern things, kerosene lamps and extra oil and all that kind of stuff. So, but I've never thought about bug spray.
Marshmallows, too.
But I remember after the hurricane out west, that was one of the things that was on the list that people were asking for was bug spray.
Because I'm going to tell you, after the fact, when you go to Walmart and looking for it, it's all gone.
It's all gone, yeah.
And Amazon is going to be, it won't be the 48-hour,
no.
You know.
No, Amazon won't get it. That, no. Amazon won't get it to you either, no.
To go back to people's responses, how best can we as citizens assist you guys in not be in the way but actually be helpful? Is there like volunteer opportunities that you could sign up for in advance, you know, that kind of resource?
Yeah, I'll tell you, with the volunteer endurance, you know, now in regards to, you know, search and rescue, you know, we have trained professional volunteers that do that. A lot of them are with our volunteer fire departments. But sometimes just, and people mean well, they want to help, but at times it can present a problem because now we're looking after someone that's not, has great intentions and their heart's in the right place, but they're not trained for what they're, you know, we need to get done. Mm-hmm. There are ways people can volunteer, you know, whether it's a shelter preparing food or something like that. But as far as out there, the search and rescue, you really need to leave that to the trained folks that have the proper equipment, the training, that sort of thing.
And that they're not stepping over each other, because you get the uninvolved in there and they're not coordinated.
It is. The people that show up really want to help, but a lot of times it causes additional issues for us. You know, we've had them show up at search and rescues and, you know, break an ankle, you know, mm-hmm. twist an ankle, heart attack, a lot of those things. And then we have to divert to take care of that. So it's really best to just sit tight, you know. And, you know, road safety, those things, you know, we need to talk about, you know, if there is running water on the road, it just takes inches to sweep your car off the road. So you certainly stay off that. Don't go around the detour that's been put there by DOT, my office, or the State Highway Patrol or New Bern. It's there for a reason. And, you know, not only your safety, but it's against the law to do that as well.
I want to add to what you're saying there. Don't go out with a gun and act like you're going to be the sheriff on town when you're not the sheriff.
Yeah, that would be really great.
because I know some people would tank up and do that.
Right.
No, thank you.
Now, listen, you know, unfortunately, criminals do take advantage of these situations. Mm-hmm. So,
folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said E70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at E70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at E70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If E70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters.
We're going to Chip, and he's going to talk a little bit about turn around, don't drown.
Yeah. So, you know, when we put these barriers up, or DOT puts them up, you know, we've already assessed the situation and determined that it is unsafe to pass through there. And I do understand it's an inconvenience. It's an inconvenience for us as well, because we have to find alternate routes if that route is part of the one we might need to take for an emergency response. And, you know, we don't have the resources to man, in these cases many times, every road that is closed. That's why we rely on barriers to do that. And, you know, it is against the law to go around a set barrier when it's set up by Department of Transportation or emergency personnel for that road closure. But inevitably, you know, people do go around them, and, you know, they think that they're going to be able to make it through there. But look, 6-8 inches of water can sweep a car away if it's moving quickly enough, right off the road. And, you know, in many cases, we've seen where people do not survive that. So really, it's imperative, pay attention to that. And especially, you know, if there's an officer standing there or a fireman standing there going, do not, you know, come through here. And you decide to do that anyway. That's going to guarantee you probably a trip to jail, just because we can't have you out there doing that. But yeah. Stay off the roads with the water that's running through there. If there's a barrier there, just adhere to it.
With changes that have been made with stormwater draining, we haven't had a real bad storm for quite a while. So I'm hoping that some of the remediation that was done after the last hurricane will help it not be so bad again. But I know down on Front Street by the hotels and the convention center, that always seems to be a really bad.
Right. And even with any type of remediation, I mean, nature's nature. So any type of infrastructure can be overwhelmed at, you know, any time. So I would say George does a really good job of looking at the inundation that we're looking at as far as projecting. And he kind of already knows what area is downtown, you know, based on, again, the projections.
Even if you're going to pump the water, you have to put the water someplace. And as Chief indicated, nature is dumping not thousands but millions of gallons in a low area. At some point, there's no remediation.
And when the wind is pushing it, also it there's no ability to get it out of the area.
Right. And even in a place like Taverna, like Caroline College, the storm drainage at some point is going to meet its capacity. And so it's going to flood into the streets. But fortunately, it will be able to drain itself. You just have to give it time.
Has any of the work started on the bond issues that were passed about the drainage issues?
Actually, we had talked to Jeff about 2 weeks ago.
Well, I don't remember.
And no, they actually haven't done any of that, fund yet.
All of that is forthcoming.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Any idea when?
I do not have.
We've got to ask our neighbor.
So I'm going to go a little different route now. During the storms and trees come down and they come down the river, what or who do you call when there's a tree in the river that's not in the channel, but it is definitely a barrier to, you know, safety? So we've had this experience, and we've called CAMA, and we've called the Coast Guard, and we've had people get hurt hitting a tree stump, and it's not marked. I've gone out and put floating bubbles on it, because when the water's high, you don't know that it's there. People that are there all the time, but it's like this was two trees that were tangled together and swept down the river and got stuck on a sandbar.
Now you're talking on the Trent River.
On the Trent River, but it's like right in front of my house. So I kind of feel like I'm responsible for making sure no one gets hurt there. But I can't seem to find anybody to help, and it's not something that I can do as an individual. I can't get rid of two tree stumps in the middle of the river. And it's in the wide part of the river where everybody's skiing and tubing and boating. And I'm really concerned about it. And most people that boat there, it's by the 13 marker. So if you go out there, Chip, you're shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and you know, with those with the inland waterways, I mean, really, you know, Wildlife Resource Commission really governs the right of ways on the water. They do all the markings along with the Coast Guard. So, you know, they would be the ones if there was. Now, if it's in the navigational channel.
And it's not.
Then
and that's what they
that,
say.
That's going to be a priority. Anything outside of that, it's kind of like, you know, nature has to take its course. But
yeah, ever tell a tuber you're not in the channel?
I know. Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, unless, you know, you know the Trent and Noose, at times it is hard to decipher whether or not you're in the channel unless you run these waters regularly.
Right. Well, I just am really concerned about that. We've called, like I said, we've called CAMA. They referred us to the Coast Guard station down at Moorhead City. They asked us for GPS information on it, and I don't know how to find GPS information. I told them it's at the 13 marker.
You know, Google Earth will give you the lat long for almost any location. You just put a
pointer right there, yeah,
and it'll give you that information.
But even if somebody would put a buoy with a danger flag on it or something. We've put flags on it before, but they don't last very long.
Yeah.
But I'm really concerned that someone's going to get hurt there.
There's a bunch of that out there in the Trenton News.
Surprises,
a lot
yes.
of places.
Yeah. Well, again, the wind in this area is either going to fill the noose up, or it's going to empty the noose. Mm-hmm. One or the other, isn't it?
Yeah.
Depending upon which direction the wind's going to go.
Okay. Yeah. What haven't we covered? What do we need to?
Well, do we still have a river keeper?
Gosh, I don't know.
We used to have a river keeper.
I know we did years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody stepped up. Mr. Dove was at one time. I don't know if anybody stepped up after him or not.
Because that would have been maybe some place to look for a buoy.
But we, yeah. No, on the hurricane, so again, be prepared in advance. And a recovery of, you know, repairs and recovery after the fact. Now, we didn't get this on the air. Chief, you mentioned about taking pictures.
Yeah, so just as a good practice, I think, you know, when you know the storm's coming, go around, take a picture. And we do this ourselves for CD facilities. So as an assessment, we'll go around, we'll take pictures of every side of the facility. And we also now, with drone capability, we try to get aerial shots as well. That way we can identify after the fact what type of damage was sustained. So that's a good practice even for, you know, private property. So
especially for roofs, if mm-hmm. you've got a drone capability.
Yeah.
And folks just also need to remember, you know, when you're making the 911 calls, the 911 center is going to be inundated with calls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we really have to prioritize. So what normally might be an escalated response, we might have to downgrade it because we can't get there. So expect response times are going to be longer because we have to ensure that we can do it safely. So once again, you know, the people that are coming to you don't get hurt. So, you know, people need to understand that. And what might normally be a nuisance call, we are probably not going to respond to a nuisance call as opposed to a true emergency. So.
Well, on the positive side, we didn't have a hurricane, but we had a lot of snow this winter. And I want to congratulate the city and sheriff's department and everybody on how well that was.
Yes. It was handled.
Because that was such a surprise to have that much snow. But, I mean, we didn't have any really bad stuff happen. It was kind of like more exciting, you know, just to see people sledding. And I talked to one of the weather people because I saw that he was on TV, and I said, how did you get into work? He said, I was the first one out, and it was horrible. I couldn't tell where the road was because the road was even with the sides of the ditches, and I'm like, wow.
I'd like to add to that, too, that I think that across the board, you know, people were actually listening. And when we say, hey, please, if you don't have to be out, don't get out, I would say that the call volume was at, on the fire side for responses was fairly low during the winter storm. And it was just, I would say, contributing to people staying in place if they could. You're going to have those that are getting out and they want to see what's going on. And you're going to have those that were still trying to get the jobs or whatever the case may be. But for the most part, I would say that we, as the fire department, in responding to traffic accidents along with PD and Chiffy's, I don't know what it looked like out in the county, but the city, it was fairly low. So that was a good thing.
You know, with the roads, you know, that was obviously a huge problem. And, you know, most of our roads in the county are rural paved roads. I mean, we do have our major roads, which, you know, the U.S. highways are the first ones to be cleared, and then the NC and then the secondary routes. The city of New Bern did a fantastic job cleaning up their roads. So, you know, they were on that very quickly. DOT just has so much to cover. I think they did a great job on the bridges. I mean, they were throwing brine out there 2 days before this thing was anywhere near us. And that's helped. But once again, we still had people coming across the bridge at high rates of speed. And, you know, the speed across the twin span going into Bridgeton's 55 doesn't mean you got to go 55 when there's ice on the bridge. However, there are those that, you know, we clocked at significantly higher speeds. So.
Yes.
Well, we only got stuck once in that whole storm, and it was getting out of the driveway.
one other thing that I'd like to bring up. Post-incident, totally post-incident, when somebody drives by in their 1950 or 1940 truck or whatever else and says, I'll do all of your repairs for $500, just pay me up front.
Now, if it's a 40 or 50s truck, I'm going to want to know if it's for sale, where they get it. Okay. I love antiques. Yeah, that's something you definitely have to be aware of, you know, and as far as people scamming.
Scamming, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and there's plenty of it.
I think River Bend and Trent Woods had a system set up where contractors had to I think it's registered.
Well, they have no solicitation. I believe y'all have that in New Bern, Chief. I believe y'all have a no solicitation ordinance. That prohibits that. But, you know, during these things where you've got trees down everywhere, I think there are certain vendors that can get with the cities and get registered and show that they're properly licensed and insured, and they're allowed to do certain work within the municipalities.
Now, we remember back with Florence, again, where friends of ours that were school teachers couldn't go to school. So what they did was they got their truck and their chainsaws and their friends, and they cleared as much as they could to get something off of a house or get something off of a roadway or get out of a driveway, not to endanger themselves too badly, but you know, to... I'm not going to school, so I've got the manpower to go and try to clean something out. But volunteer thing was great.
Neighbors.
One
of the things I want to point out, because when you talked about, well, what else can we add to this discussion, especially post-storm, is we understand that there's going to be a fair number of people that are going to have high anxiety. They're probably at their wit's end. That their emotions are a little bit heightened. So I would ask that they be as tolerant as possible, especially when you're dealing with public safety personnel, especially when we have officers and deputies out on intersections and we have closed the road. And what we see, quite honestly, is conflict and anger, especially directed at that young officer, young deputy, and their assignment is simply to close this road, and they're asking tons of questions that the deputy and the officer just doesn't have the answer. I don't know how to reroute you around here. You know, we got to understand what their role is, and just be more tolerant.
Yeah, that they've got their job, and they can't answer everything. Yeah.
And I saw that in person in Riverbend when people wanted to get back to their homes, and they weren't, the Riverbend police weren't letting people go back to their homes, and it was heartbreaking and terrifying at the same time, because people are like, my animals were there, or, you know, just wanting to see what damage was done. So I totally understand.
Okay. That's why you bring your identification documents with you when you evacuate.
Well, again, if you're not allowed to go down there for safety reasons, please just accept that fact. Folks, we're going to have to close up this show, and thanks for listening, and hopefully we gave you some good information, and hit the county website, hit the city websites, and
thank you.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And thank you for your service.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Have a great day.